Okay, good afternoon. Thank you for being here. I see some familiar faces and also many who I don't recognize. I've never presented in a pathology section before. I am currently a weed science student and my training is in weed science, but I had the opportunity to work with Dr. Woodward on this project looking at southern root knot nematode and it possibly being a host for Russian thistle. So we know that southern root knot nematode is widespread in the cotton belt as well as reniform. The nematodes use plant roots to complete their life cycle, affecting the plants in two major ways. It reduces the plant's ability to absorb nutrients and water, and it can also increase the plant's susceptibility to stresses like other pathogens, insects, and stresses caused by the environment. And all of these factors will result in reduced crop yields. There are several management strategies that one can implement. However, these are often limited, they can be quite expensive, and often erratic. We can apply seed-applied nematicides such as Aris and Evicta, soil fumigants such as Talone, and foliar products such as Vidate. Cultural practices can also be implemented, such as planting a partially resistant nematode variety or rotating to a crop host that isn't as susceptible or is a non-host. So here's a little schematic for crop hosts, corn being the most susceptible to peanut, which is a non-host. Incorporating rotation to a non-host is a great management strategy. However, we often see that sometimes in the crop rotation option that maybe isn't of most economic value, we might not pay as much attention to weed control. So you might see that with the wheat fallow rotation. As far as weed hosts go, Rich and colleagues documented in 2008 that there are over 100 species that are hosts for southern root knot. In the high plains, some of these weeds that are common include palmer, field bindweed, nut sedges, and morning glory species. So this work started in 2011 when the pathology group at AgriLife Lubbock noticed that there was galling found on Russian thistle plants that was similar to galling caused by the southern root knot nematode. So from 2011 to 2014, 10 fields were surveyed in order to identify what percentage of the plants had galling present, and this was just done during general field maintenance. So you can see that on average over that four-year period, there was over 50% of the plants had symptoms that were include visual galling that was similar to southern root knot, about 58%. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Russian thistle, or maybe you're not familiar with the name, I'm sure you've all heard of tumbleweed. It's an annual broadleaf. It's prevalent in the western United States. It grows well in sandy soils, rapid germination in temperatures from 52 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit, and it's very drought tolerant. So in a limited moisture environment, it can be extremely competitive. It also has an aggressive root system. It establishes quite early. It has fibrous subsurface roots and main roots that can go down quite deep. So if it has enough moisture to establish and then can access moisture that's deeper in the profile, it will do well. A mature plant can produce over 200,000 seeds. And the good thing is the longevity of these seeds is limited. In a year after production, 90% of these seeds will either germinate or they'll decay. In our region, Russian thistle can be difficult to manage. We are in West Texas, it's fairly dry. A lot of our products, we rely on translocation for them to be effective. Sometimes we can have issues with that. Weed size can also play a role. The environment, how well these products are translocating, if these plants are healthy or if they're fairly hardened off. And coverage is another factor. As you can see, It's a dicot, but it has very slender leaves, so that's another thing to take into consideration. So the objective of this research was to determine the suitability of Russian thistle as a host for southern root knot. We conducted four trials. Two I would call preliminary. It's easy to, you often see weeds where you don't want them, but if you've ever had any practice growing them in a greenhouse or a controlled environment, it can be difficult. So it took us some time to make sure we had enough replication so that we had a span that we could properly analyze. So the first preliminary study, we really didn't have enough plants. I will briefly touch on number two, and then three and four, I think we had our replicates to a great enough number where we could at least summarize them. Factors, it was all in the same building, but we had two different greenhouse bays, and then test species, two cotton varieties, Fibermax 9160, which is our susceptible variety, and Stoneville 5458, which is a partially resistant variety, and then, of course, the species that we're interested in, Russian thistle. Inoculum was prepared from susceptible infected tomato plants, and of course, we autoclaved the soil prior to planting. At planting, the pots were inoculated with 1,600 to 1,800 southern root knot eggs, and these pots were fertilized and watered as needed for 60 days. At 60 days, we took down the plants and extracted nematode eggs following Hussey and Barker's protocol. As well as nematode egg counts, we also took gall ratings and root and shoot weights. Okay, so moving into the results. This is one of those two preliminary studies, and you can see gall rating on the y-axis, scale of 1 to 10, and the scale we used was from Bridge and Page, their rating chart from 1980, and then our three different hosts on the x-axis. So you can see that Fibermax, our susceptible variety, and Stoneville are resistant. Those had similar rating values, and we had an increase for Russian thistle. How that translated into nematode reproduction, you're looking at eggs per gram of root. Again, this is that preliminary study. And you can see that Russian thistle had about five times more eggs per gram of root. However, you can see that the Fibermax value didn't separate out when we looked at it. And that's just because of that problem we had with number of replications. So we had really low number of reps. Wanted to show this information, but probably the better studies to look at are these two. This is gall ratings for studies three and four. Two different greenhouses. Greenhouse 1 is represented by the red bars, and greenhouse 2 represented by the blue bars. Going back to gall rating, so that 1 to 10 scale, you can see that in greenhouse 1, Russian thistle was comparable to the Fibermax variety, and we see a decrease in our rating for the Stoneville partially resistant variety. And greenhouse 2, a little bit different. We saw a drop for Russian thistle gall ratings, and Fibermax and Stoneville, similar to greenhouse 1. Nematode reproduction, again, eggs per gram of root. You can see that overall in greenhouse 1, we had more nematode eggs per gram of root. However, the trend is pretty similar over houses. Russian thistle had more eggs compared to Fibermax, and Stoneville less or the same as Fibermax. So in summary, on average, over 50%, about 58% of Russian thistle plants sampled exhibited galling from those 10 fields in 2011 to 2014. When looking at the root knot ratings for that preliminary study, Russian thistle had higher gall ratings compared to our two cotton varieties. Study 3 in greenhouse 1, Russian thistle and Fibermax numbers were similar, and they were greater than our partially resistant Stoneville variety. In greenhouse 2, Fibermax was greater than Russian thistle, which was greater than the Stoneville variety. And that was for ratings. When we look at egg counts per gram of root in greenhouse 1, Russian thistle values were greater than Fibermax, and Fibermax and Stoneville were similar. And in greenhouse 2, Russian thistle was greater than Fibermax, which was greater than Stoneville. So Russian thistle is in fact a suitable host for root knot nematode. Both pests really need to be managed from a systems approach. Control of Russian thistle will improve southern root knot management. And from a weed management standpoint, a lot of our species are having their major germination period before planting or near planting. So it's really important that we start clean, whether that be a tillage operation or application of a pre-plant burn down. We also have some promising tools that could be available as soon as this next growing season. Oxin-tolerant technology will provide growers with another strategy to control difficult-to-control weeds like Russian thistle and glyphosate-resistant palmer. For my dissertation, I'm working with Enlist weed control system, but our group has also been working quite a bit with ExtendFlex, two great technologies, and we've seen that applications involving 2,4-D or dicamba often increase Russian thistle control by approximately 30% in season compared to a glyphosate application alone. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Time for questions.
Yes.
How long does the Russian thistle overwinter? Is it killed by cold? I'm not familiar with it. Does it have the same growing season as cotton does, or is it pretty prolonged?
You could see some later germination. In West Texas, most of that germination period is going to be fairly early. So before planting or at planting, you could see a late flush, but it's not going to be your problematic flush.
So if you manage it during the season, you don't have to worry about it otherwise.
If you manage it at that initial flush, whether that be before planting, before you plant, or maybe near planting, you've probably got the majority.
Is it difficult to manage other crops?
It is a difficult to control weed. It's I talked a little bit about coverage and how that can be a problem. It really needs to be actively growing. So we say, you know, target weed size when it's small. Oftentimes that does help, but if it's small and it's not actively growing, that can be a problem. So some of the same management practices that we use for weed control in general. Yes, sir.
So lack of
in the gall ratings, were there lowered numbers that you saw? Oh, sure.
Is that due to differences in resistance among Russian thistle, or is that simply due to certain areas of the field called out?
I'm sure it's both. I'm sure it's the distribution of the pathogens, but there are different biotypes for sure, and that could play a role. I don't know what the severity of that role is.
Thank you.
Thank you.